Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So we had the drunk boat guy yesterday. There were three Florida men accused of pepper spraying employees after stealing Chanel purses from Chanel. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So three Florida dudes found themselves behind bars. They decided to, in broad daylight, to rob a Saks Fifth Avenue. And when they went into the Saks Fifth Avenue, they were going to steal a bunch of Chanel bags and then flee the store. 27-year-old, a 32-year-old, and a 31-year-old pepper sprayed employees who tried to stop them before they fled in a BMW. They said that officials located the getaway car and they ended up involved in a pursuit. And they did get the suspects and arrest them on charges of armed robbery, aggravated battery, fleeing and eluding. Why do you, you're not going to be, first off, this ain't California. Florida's not California. They will arrest you. They'll drag you out of the street. They will blank you up, just to quote Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder. They will find you. And they're still investigating, but it seems like it's an open and shut case. But to imagine doing that, going into a Saks and doing that in broad daylight. Good night. You remember that mystery object that fell, what they were saying, probably fell from the space station. NASA determined that this debris, I don't know what this is, something from their flight support equipment.
Yeah, battery casing.
Oh yeah. It's like a battery casing. It's made of, I don't know what that, it weighs 1.6 pounds, 4 inches in height and 1.6 inches in diameter. It's just a piece of space hardware that crashed through this guy's Florida home. And they think that it had to do with when the astronauts were releasing some aging nickel hydride batteries from the ISS using their robotic arm back in March of 21. And that they were replaced with new lithium ion batteries as power upgrades on this orbital outpost. And they thought that the hardware was, it was supposed to burn up in the Earth's atmosphere when it fell March of this year. But apparently a piece of hardware survived, and that's when it fell in a house in Naples. That's the craziest thing ever. Oh, we're sorry it didn't burn up. So,
sorry about your house.
Yeah. This Florida man, this is never okay to do. This Florida man, while he's being arrested by police, asks if it's okay if he cracks open this beer in Port Orange. Oh, yeah. There's video. We'll share it with you tomorrow. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks at Kel-Tec, and you guys are very familiar with the Sub-2K. We've talked about it for months and months now. The Sub-2K, which is a 9mm carbine. They make a lot of stuff, but the Sub-2K right now, this is Gen 3, so there's an update. They made some updates to it. They've got some upgrades, and one of the upgrades, you can still fold it in half. They didn't do away with that. I mean, it's still, yes, you can still do gun origami. It's a twist and fold motion of that patent pending rotating forearm, but you can keep your optics on. That's the difference, because previously you had to take everything off, detach it to fold it in half. You do not have to do that now with the Gen 3, and it just as quickly and easily deploys as well. And they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. It's redesigned mechanics, so it's a light and 5-pound pull. They've upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking. You got an ambidextrous bolt hold open, all provides improved manipulation. They have a new chamber indicator. Now it's not a replacement for standard safety, but it helps operating it. And also made in America, right there in Florida, Florida-based, family-run, owned and operated Kel-Tec. So you got to check them out. That's Kel-Tec Weapons, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Bosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. And they gave, like many of you, risked your lives, and you know people who gave their lives for the country. They're heroes. But one of the things that I, as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it because they were all suckers and losers.
That's not what he said, you absolute...
I'm not making that up.
Desiccated
meat sack. Staff was listening to acknowledge it today. Suckers and losers. That man doesn't deserve.
You can't even talk. What the hell is this? Oh, my gosh,
Commander-in-Chief, stop it. My son.
Somebody give him another shot. Give him a hit off of Hunter's Coke Rock. That's Biden. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this hour, Dana Lash with you. He's telling steel workers in Pennsylvania, you know, because he's ruining their economy. He's telling them this. I love it. Let me just share. This is the Telegraph's British publication. This is their headline. Cannibals ate my uncle, claims Joe Biden. The U.S. president's theory of Second Lieutenant Ambrose Finnegan's death contradicted by official war records. Because it's BS. It's been debunked already. This isn't the first time that he shared this. If you can, that's literally not at all what happened. Oh my gosh. They said that the plane went down, but not near a cannibal island. And they said that the aircraft nose hit the water, et cetera, et cetera. But he wasn't eaten by cannibals. And there's nothing ever to suggest that he ever was. I mean, good heavens, there's leftist news sites that are debunking this. I mean, what in the world? But he still shares it. And he says that in this story, he keeps saying it anyway, that Trump wouldn't go and visit the graves of whatever. And, you know, and that's also a lie that's also been debunked millions of times. But nobody apparently listens to it. That story came from Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic, and there was zero corroboration of it. It came out, this headline, by the way, that Juan is showing, this side by side here. Y'all see this headline? This is the funniest stuff. Are you kidding me? Cannibals ate my uncle.
It's a serious headline, Dana.
They ate my uncle. They opened up a pop-up on the beach. They called it Shea Biden. They ate my uncle Finnegan. Ambrose Finnegan. What a name, by the way.
Don't make fun of a potential truth.
It's not a potential truth. It's an always lie. Good heavens. They didn't say that. He never said that. Trump never said that either. He never said that about that. It literally never happened. He just ran with it. That's also a story that was debunked by, I think, what, Snopes, Washington Post. I'm just like scrolling through my. They said it. They knew it was a lie too when they said it, and they still did it. They keep saying it over and over again. It's ridiculous. And it never, ever happened. It's been debunked. Trump never said that. And Uncle Bozy, that never happened either. And he told this, I love how a friend of mine wrote, he told this story on his way from his Puerto Rican hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. You know, because Joe Biden also, apparently Joe Biden is more Puerto Rican than Juan. I mean, going by Joe Biden.
A hard time believing it.
Well, I mean, then why do you hate his stutter, Kane? I mean, you know, you either believe that the man grew up in Scranton, Puerto Rico, or you don't.
Not really. Is there a Scranton, Puerto Rico? Because I don't think there is.
I mean, who knows? You're, with his stutter, it could be anything. That's it. And the suckers and losers thing was an entirely made up lie that's never been corroborated. And yeah, can we? Well, didn't we do this audio soundbite too?
No, he did it again. This is him doing it again.
What?
He did it like three or four times.
Not in the same thing.
No, yeah, absolutely. Different venues, different locations, same story.
Okay, go ahead and roll this.
Potential truth.
Ambrose Finnegan, I'm going to call him Uncle Bozy.
Oh, my gosh.
He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it.
got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals living at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up
oh my
to
gosh, that never happened.
The memorial for veterans in Paris. And he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
He never said that. That never happened again. So this was another. This was another whole. He's on the tarmac. I was trying to think of the tarmac. Yeah, that's. So let me. So again, that came from a this loser's article in the Atlantic, and it's been repeated by even former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, and. Or no, he's the one who corrected it. It's been it was repeated by Obama Biden's former White House Chief of Staff. John Kelly went out and he was setting the record straight. And again, even WaPo and others have debunked this. And he's like, that literally, none of this stuff has ever been said. I mean, everybody, even the people who hate him, who hate Trump, have denied that that was ever said. I can't believe we're talking about this again. This is so stupid. I mean, it was a. There's a lot of evidence that goes that completely destroys Jeffrey Goldberg's claim. And what I remember when this happened, because he was in, wasn't it like a G? Wasn't this the same trip where he later met up with the European leaders, including Angela Merkel? And that's when they were arguing about how much Germany needs to be giving towards their percentage of GDP for NATO requirements. And they had like, you know, and he was sitting at the desk with his arms crossed. I think it was all from that visit, because earlier when he was in France, he was expected to go north to go to a French cemetery, which apparently was his idea. And they had horrible weather in France. And I even remember stories about like flooding, etc. And he was livid because he wanted to go to a specific World War One cemetery. And they said that they couldn't, because the weather was so bad and the roads, because it was, you know, kind of from what I understand, the cemetery was more in a rural part of France. The roads were bad. He had to keep to a schedule. They needed to get him back because he was supposed to have caught a flight and then go after being in France. And he was going to lay a wreath at this cemetery. And they said, we can't get there. He had suggested going by copter. They're like, we definitely can't go there in this weather in helicopter. It's not going to happen. There's like, and apparently that was Secret Service telling him this. They're like, it's not going to happen. It's too dangerous to go. It was super heavy rain. It lightning the whole nine yards. And they're like, it's entirely unsuitable for you to do this. And he was livid that he couldn't go to that. There was never anything like suckers and losers and all of that stuff.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, this is breaking news. This literally just came out within the past hour. Dickie Betts, super influential singer, songwriter, guitarist for Allman Brothers, has passed away at the age of 80. It was literally just announced on his Instagram page. Dickie Betts official. They say, quote, it's with profound sadness and heavy hearts that the Betts family announced the peaceful passing of Forrest Richard Dickie Betts at the age of 80 years old. They said that he passed away earlier today at his home in Osprey, Florida, surrounded by family. And the family's asking for prayers and respect for their privacy. And they said more information will be forthcoming in the appropriate time. I don't need to even tell you about Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers. Midnight Rider is one of my absolute favorite all-time top five songs that's ever been written. I've seen the Allman Brothers live. Dickie Betts is amazing. Holy cow. I mean, he's just one of those dudes that you're just like, he can go on. You know what I mean? Like him, Keith Richards, like these other cats, they're just like powered by some like secret nuclear energy and you don't know what it is. Man, Dickie Betts, age 80. Rest in peace, man. Good heavens. Also, I don't know how you go after that. Henry Cavill, or Cavill. Is it Cavill? I think it's Cavill. Yeah, his, it's an AI fake. A lot of people have been wanting him to be James Bond, but they have this other guy who I think is going to be a good James Bond as James Bond. But Henry Cavill, they said, there was this fake Bond trailer that was online and it got almost like 3 million views. I think at this point, the last, when they were writing about it, it was like 2.5. Now it's like 3 million. And it was a fake trailer a Bond 26 trailer, and they were using him as the new Bond. It's not him. But I think it kind of shows you a lot of people really wanted him as the James Bond, as the new character, him or Idris Elba. But here's the problem. Producers were saying that Idris Elba and Henry Cavill were too old to commit for like a decade of making James Bond films, because apparently they got seven more in the can. And they need, like, they need a younger guy who can commit and age with it. So apparently that was the big, not that they didn't like either of those guys, but that was the big thing. That whiny, whingy ginger, Prince Harry finally cut ties with Britain. Nobody cares. I think he ought to be deported. Exiled Prince lists the United States as his primary residence, and people are worried about his deportation over past drug use. I think he should be deported because he's a whiny welfare nepo baby. I can't stand him and his wife who cannot dress herself and doesn't know how to use an iron or tailor off the rack stuff to actually fit her proportions. And who the hell wears heels on the pitch? Stop it. I'm sorry. I'm done. American teens are getting arrested for smuggling illegal immigrants because it's good money. It's good money for them.
Is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
I can't even believe I'm having this conversation right now. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. So this has to do, is it Nebo? Nebo? How do they say it?
I guess it's Nebo.
The Nebo School District in Utah. And apparently, so there were middle schoolers that walked out on Wednesday because they said that the district was allowing student furries to terrorize other students. And they said that the student furries were biting, scratching, and spraying human repellent at other students.
What the heck is human repellent?
I don't even know what that is. Axe body spray? When a student retaliates, apparently they're the one who gets suspended. So what? This is Utah. They said students claim that the furries bite them, bark at them, pounce on them without repercussion. And so the students literally staged a walkout.
Good.
They were tired of it. Good on them. And they said that this was kind of goofy. This response from, this is Seth Sorensen, the district school district spokesperson. Now listen to him. How he tries to characterize this. He's like, well, they're not like totally furries. He didn't say it just like that. But he says that the way that he puts it, the group of students being targeted, because it sounds like the students that are being bitten and scratched and all that are being targeted. He says that they come to school wearing headbands. Sometimes they may have ears on them. And he's like, I just don't know if they actually think they're furries. He doesn't think that, you know, they think they're furries, etc. And that really does not at all sound like what the kids are saying. And considering the history that a lot of these school districts have with this stuff with students, I'm actually going to believe the students over this dude, because they're getting kicked and scratched and bit, apparently. And so there was literally, they had a petition that they created. Students for humans at school, not animals, a.k.a. furries.
The fact that it had to be created.
Yeah. And they said, and then the Sorensen said that he thinks, because they had a message from the school that was sent to families last week. And it said this, because apparently the school intervened with the students, which made it all even worse. And they said that apparently they are blaming the parents of the kids who walked out for misinterpreting the school's response, saying that we weren't taking, you know, the side, we want you to be kind, you know. Whoa, 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 whoa. They're the ones getting bit and scratched, you epic moron. And he said, well, the parents took to social media instead of discussing the issue with the school district. It sounds like they were trying to discuss the issue with the school district, and the school district decided to not listen to you. That's what it sounded like. Parents were apparently pulling their kids from the school. And they go, we hope that rather than parents just reaching out on social media, that they'll actually reach out to the school and have conversations. It sounds like they did. By the way of this guy's own description, that the school was talking with families and then sent a message, and the parents did not like the response that they got. It sounds like they had to go to social media because the Nebo or Nebo school district wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing on behalf of these students. That's what it sounds like. You know, sometimes bullying's not a bad thing, if I'm being honest. Because a quick way, if I was in school and somebody was dressed as a furry and they were biting and scratching me, I would beat your ass. That's exactly what would happen. And I wouldn't get in trouble either. My mom would take me to the mall or Six Flags or something if I had been suspended. There's no way it's going to happen. You will get hit. But I don't know, like Kane and I, we always talk, like I grew up in Jefferson County, Missouri, proudly. So, you know, it's just kind of how we did things. Kane knows this. Kane is a North. You were a Northside. Same thing, yeah, as how
North,
they did things.
North County. But yeah, look, if it creates balance, it isn't bullying.
Right.
That's literally the lesson here, kids. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night. Great show. Have a great night, guys. For real, though. I'm just trying to figure out why in the world that, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how in the world the students objecting are being portrayed by the school as the bad guys in this situation. That makes no sense to me. I mean, it does when you consider the state of education lately, but, you know, I digress. I can't even imagine. It's just wild. But they said that, oh, the parents in the school district now, because the story's gone, is going viral. They're now having to deal with all the fallout of this. Biting, scratching, and spraying them with human repellent. I still don't know what human repellent is. So they walked out and, oh, wait, there's one more. There were reports of them using litter boxes as bathrooms. How do you?
Don't ask, because no.
Yeah. And there were a lot of kids doing it. A lot of kids. One girl said, quote, these kids are mentally ill and they're trying to force their illness upon us. They want attention. And they've sprayed some of the kids said that they had Febreze. They sprayed Febreze in their eyes. And the
salt.
School has a strict dress code. And yet they're allowed to wear this stuff. I think it's hysterical that they interviewed an adult furry who was like, those kids dressing as furries need to knock it off. That's when you know you've gone too far. When like the adult furry comes out and is like, knock it off, you brats. That's when you know it's gone way too far.
How do we reach the furries?
Hire them as a contributor. And our contributor, what it was, a one-name person. What was it? I remember the name of the person that they had that reporter interviewed. Golly, I can't deal.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.